exciting.
Welcome to another episode of PGA Radio with Grant Zellner and Jennifer Allen. Jennifer, I can't believe it. We're finally into the month of December and the year 2022 has flown by. We're already looking to exciting things coming in 2023.
Yeah, I surprisingly still have one more tournament to go this coming weekend, but it does finally feel like the year is wrapping up. We are going to have, you know, a very short, but it is off season time. And before you know it, we'll be starting back up in 2023.
That's going to be crazy. Well, on that note, looking ahead, we've got a really cool guest that we were able to get at the very last minute for some really cool reasons.
Yeah. So this is a pretty special guest. They are all special to me, but this one in particular as well. Coming up today, we have Callie McMorrin, who is not only a good friend, a fellow FPO player, but she is starting something pretty big next year. And I am also excited for that as well, because I will be probably playing in multiple of these events that she's going to be doing. So I can't wait to share with the world on what she has to tell us.
Don't give away too much. Let's let it all come straight from Callie's mouth. Callie McMorrin, a guest right now on PDGA Radio. So welcome, Callie McMorrin. Well, we asked you a minute ago, and I don't know that I got a straight answer, Callie. What is your title with relation to this brand new Disc Golf Masters Tour?
Yeah, so I guess president, owner, scheduler, operator,
secretary,
sales rep, marketing, yeah, you know, all of it, just everything.
Just everything. It's a one woman band, basically.
Yeah. And my dog, you know, Milo helps big time. Well,
can not give the vice president, you know, a little bit of attention here. Right. Callie McMorrin, a lot of people are listening right now. We think, Jennifer and I think, that a lot of people have heard of you. They've seen you at events. Your RV is sometimes the largest thing there in the vendor village when there is a vendor village. So
definitely the brightest.
Is certainly the brightest, that bright yellow. And so I think people know of you. I'm not sure if everybody, especially those newer to the sport, know you. So I think we should start right there before we get into this exciting announcement, this exciting new Masters Pro Tour. Let's talk for a little bit about who Callie McMorrin is and what got you into disc golf. First of all, you're probably a lot younger than a lot of people think you are.
Yeah, so I am currently 25. I'll turn 26 in April. And my dad is a big part of this whole story and how we got to where we are. He still thinks that I'm crazy because he never saw any of this stuff coming. He was like, hey, you want to go play disc golf? And he never imagined any of this would come true. It kind of all started. I was in college. I came from a basketball background, was big into basketball, and left the team sport scene, was kind of over all the drama and things that are connected to that, and went from a gym rat that was, you know, playing basketball or in the gym for 4 or 5 hours every day to nothing to do except for college. So I was in college. I was doing well, but I was bored out of my mind, getting a business degree. And my friend actually told me, she's like, hey, we're going to a big tournament in Bowling Green. And it actually was the Bowling Green AM Championships, which I had never heard of. So we jump in the car and I go out of the blue, and we get there and I'm informed that the division that I had signed up for, my rating was too high. And keep in mind, I had no idea what a PDGA rating was because my dad randomly signed me up when I was 14 years old and told me, hey, you're getting this for Christmas. I was like, I don't really want that, but okay. So that's why my PDGA number is a little lower than it probably would have been. And we went to Bowling Green. They bumped me up to advanced. This was probably the biggest event I'd ever played in at the time. And, you know, I show up. I'm like, well, I'm really going to get my butt kicked now. And I ended up winning, which was crazy. Sponsorships kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't even know what that was at the time.
What year is this, by the way?
That was 2017.
Okay.
Yeah, so Christine Jennings and I actually kind of came up at the same time. So she's a good friend of mine. But that's kind of where it all started. I came back home and my dad was like, oh my gosh, you won Bowling Green Am Championships. And I said, why is everyone saying that? Like, why is this such a big deal? I had no idea. He's like, that's awesome. You know, it was a big deal, especially back then. So came home and, you know, the feeling of winning is always addicting. So after that, it was pretty much full blown. My dad and I were going out of town every weekend. I was playing U.S. Women's, you know, playing all these A tiers. You know, that night I figured out what a PDGA rating was and how everything worked, which is crazy. So it kind of all started there. And, you know, I dropped out of college to actually pursue disc golf full time. At the time, the goal was to be a professional athlete, potentially win a world title, yada, yada, yada. It ended up with me falling in love with the sales side of things and just, you know, the opportunity to build something that's so new. You know, there's tons of doors that haven't been opened in disc golf, and that's really unique for a sport that's been around for as long as it has. So, you know, it opened up all of these entrepreneurship opportunities that I had been wanting but didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to be a business owner, and it kind of just fell in my lap. So went out on the road with Dynamic Discs with Jonathan Ray early on. He actually is a mobile ops dealer for Didi and still is. And he kind of taught me the very basics of how everything worked. And at the time, I was like a sponge. I was just absorbing all of this knowledge. You know, the things that I liked, the way that he did it, the things that maybe I would change. And I wanted to do that with Didi, and they turned me down after I got back from my summer deal. Because I was still in college at the time. So I came back, did a semester of college, first semester I've ever failed in my life because my mind was on the road. You know, I had never been west of the Mississippi River prior to that. And I came home back to University of Memphis and was completely distracted, wasn't interested, failed my marketing class, which is hilarious now. And ended up talking with Jonathan Poole from Innova and started doing basically what J-Ray does, but for Innova. And I did it a little different because I brought all the assets to the table. So I own everything. Whereas, you know, with Jonathan Ray, Didi provides the rig and a little bit of merchandise to get him started. So I wanted to approach it to where I had all the opportunity, all the assets, and could build it the way that I wanted to, which is pretty cool.
You know, I was going to say at the beginning, Grant, so many of our guests on PDGA Radio have been, you know, are OGs of the sport. You know, they've been around forever. They're older. And we do have to introduce them as our newer audience is so young. Callie's probably one of our first guests that so many of our newer listeners know so much about, because that's the audience that Callie really reaches out to. All these beginner players, you know, Callie has sold how many first discs to people? Do you think you've put the thousands. Hands?
Yeah.
Thousands. You know, so it's kind of cool. I was sitting here, you know, listening to her story, which I know pretty well. A lot of our listeners probably know who Callie is. You've reached a lot of beginner players and listeners out there. So this is kind of a cool episode.
I'm glad they get to learn a little bit more of the background, though, behind what you're doing right now, Callie, and the number of years that you put in, you know, on the grind, figuring out how to do it. You mentioned at least, I think, twice there in the last few minutes that you wanted to do something sort of your way. And I don't think you mean that in like a prideful sense. I think you mean that in a like you want to take responsibility and sort of ownership of it and then be able to build it and learn from mistakes, learn from trials, build it better than a second time around, but then you have the freedom to do that. And so that's pretty cool. And maybe this is a good part to sort of segue, although I think there might be even more maybe of your story from your dad to get into it, but to segue into this latest venture that you have built, this Disc Golf Masters Tour.
I think it happened in a blink. I can remember, it seems like yesterday we were throwing stuff in the back of my SUV. The first tents Cali ever picked up, like that seems like yesterday. That was a long trip, but
I remember. Yeah, I remember going to the West Coast in a warehouse, and you remember on the Expo marker board, the dry erase board, and it was written. It was like, "Give Cali a tent," and I was like,
"Yeah,
what? Why is that on the board?" You know, that wasn't anything I even requested, and Joe Rotan was like, "You're getting a tent, you know, that's special. Not many people get tents." And I said, "Well, cool. I want a tent then, you know." And
can we have four?
Yeah. And then now I have 12 in the camper. So that's kind of crazy.
But it seems like yesterday, and all this really happened for her so quickly. I feel like, you know, being kind of on the outside inside of it, you know, there's a lot of people that have been around this game for so long who've never got to the level that Cali has. And so, like, to me, Grant, I feel like this happened in a blink of an eye. She went from someone who didn't know what disc golf was, who saw her dad do it, to playing a couple of tournaments, to now running a tour. That doesn't happen. Like, this is something I think that happened extremely quick. You fast forwarded everything so quickly because of your drive and maybe a little bit of stubbornness. With a mix of knowledge, you know, I think that's maybe pretty much
a lot of stubbornness. A lot of stubbornness. Thought of can't quit, won't quit, kind of crazy. Yeah,
but
maybe crazy is the term.
You've gotten it to whatever craziness that is, to a level that, you know, so many haven't even thought about achieving in a very short amount of time.
Definitely. You know, and to kind of give a little bit more background. I actually lived with Jennifer Allen for 6 months, which it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. But during that time, I was in such a weird space in my life, because not a lot of people know this, but I actually got into a car accident. And I don't think I've ever shared this with a bunch of people, but I got in a car accident coming back after my first year on tour with Haley King. And I had actually dropped her off already. But I had a guy brake check me while I was pulling the trailer, and I rear-ended him, and it totaled the camper at the time that I had. And that was everything, right? I had invested everything into that. So luckily it was insured.
And that was the camper she was living in, not the camper everyone is used to.
No one really got to see this camper. It was never wrapped. I had a few bins in there. That's kind of how it started. So, but yeah, I got in an accident. It was terrifying. Nobody got hurt, which was great, but you know, I was ready to really hurt the guy that brake checked me, because in my mind, all of my dreams, all the things I'd been building were just shattered in a blink of an eye. So that was crazy. Had to go home, get the camper figured out. You know, insurance wrote a check, but my parents actually owned the very first camper. So they got the check. And so at that point, that freed me up to figure out what I wanted to do, because that actually wasn't the camper that would have worked for what I'm doing now. So it actually worked out, but it was very scary the way that it worked out. So in the time being, Jen's like, "Well, why don't you come move in with me? You know, great weather.
We have nicer summers, or winters, I mean.
Get in shape, you know, play a ton of disc golf. We'll figure it out." So I leave Memphis without the trailer, but with the truck. And we zip tied it together. It looked like Frankenstein. The whole front end was a hot mess, but it worked fine. And I actually lived in my Expedition for 3 weeks on the way to get to Jen. And from there, it was just trying to figure out what I wanted to do. So I actually worked at Dick's Sporting Goods to try to help convince Innova to hire me, because I wanted to learn the inside and outs of how Dick's Sporting Goods order discs from Innova, which is crazy. So I worked there for 6 months, and we had a bunch of things lined up. It was actually really amazing. And then COVID hits.
Right.
And now I'm sent back to Memphis. And again, what do? You don't want to buy a camper now. You don't want to sit there with a camper note in your parents' driveway. So I went back to Memphis, figured out what I wanted to do. had my dad co-sign on a trailer, but this one was mine. So he didn't believe that I was going to go get one. He thought I was kidding. And I left Memphis. He was already pre-approved. And I went down to Arkansas, I believe, and picked up a brand new trailer, which at the time I thought was huge. Looking at what I have now, it's pretty small. But I pull into the driveway at my parents' house with this camper, and my dad was like, "What the hell did you buy?" You know, he's just like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I have a vision. I have a goal. This is going to work. Just trust me. You know, I'll make it happen." He's like, "You don't even have a job. Like, how are you going to afford this?" And I was like, "I've been saving up money. I worked at Dick's Sporting Goods." You know, at the time, I think I had $6,000 or $7,000 in my pocket, which is crazy. So that's how I started all of these businesses. So I just bought merchandise, flipped it, bought merchandise, flipped it, bought merchandise, flipped it. Now I own three trailers. I've got a guy working for me, Anthony Hammersmith, up in Oregon, and he has the original trailer, but it's just crazy how it worked out.
And this all started, this is like early 2020?
Yeah,
you said that's COVID probably hit, about so right. I'm trying to
gauge when it was 2 years. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Where, which is crazy. So where in the building of all of these things, at what point did the Disc Golf Master Tour become like the gleam in your eye?
Well, that you was know. A late night. No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
that was 2 weeks ago. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, Jen, close your ears. So all of my friends are old. And part of it is that. Part of it is my dad. You know, I've been around old man golf or whatever you want to call it forever. They call it shade golf or whatever you want to call it, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they have a blast. They have a great time. It's so different. It's very refreshing. Obviously, not everyone plays that way, but typically the guys that aren't there to win a world title, they're there to have a blast, right? They're there to make the best of it. They're either retired or they're taking vacation. You know, they want the full experience. They want to have fun. And for the few that are there to win, that's great. We're still, you know, Disc Golf Masters Tour is going to provide something like that worth winning. So all of this kind of came about because Sarah Hokum and I were hanging out one late night. Don't tell anybody. And I told her, I said, "I really think that I can do something to compete with the NADGT, which is AMS, obviously." And right. She's like, you know, Sarah Hokum, she's like, "But what about the old people?" And I got me
I hear her voice.
Since she's a rookie, since it's her first year,
she's already defending us. Is this a year ago? Is this 2 years
no.
ago? Real quick, this give me like, some.
This is California OTB this year.
This year?
Yes.
6 months, oh, wow. Maybe so this is ago? Like.
Like
May.
I said, Grant, this all okay. happened super fast.
So this is like
fast.
May 2022. You're having this casual conversation with Sarah Hokum. Okay, continue.
And I would also add in there, Callie, you were at Masters Worlds 2 years ago in Tennessee. And so I think that really was a good eye opener because that Masters Worlds was so fun. Like she said, you know, everyone was waiting in the parking lot when we got done with every round. Everyone hung out. It was a huge feel of family compared to what Callie and I are used to at a professional world championship.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that really kind of opened your eyes a little bit to, holy cow, this is a little different.
Yeah,
that was actually my first event.
I was going to say that too.
So, wow.
We were
okay.
all there.
There's a
this
whole
little
bunch
circle.
Of converging paths at that. That's pretty cool. Wow.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you're beginning you're talking out things very abstractly with Sarah Hokum in May of 2022. Okay. So
while playing a professional tournament.
Right. So let's go to there and now continue.
And
continue
vending.
Your
yeah. And vending. And every other thing. And yeah. I also think that, I mean, Hokum knows me, you know, for sure, but I don't know that she thought I was serious when I was like, well, I could do that. I was like, I don't have anything else going on. I could do that. I could build that.
I don't have anything else going on. You just talked about three you know? Trailers and people.
You
and
know? So we left that conversation. I'm sure we were a little tipsy, but we had fun. And but that just started stewing, right? And I'm like, I could really, you know, that's been needed for well over a decade. These are the types of people that, you know, a lot of them are either already or on the cusp of retirement. Hopefully, you know, their finances are to the point where they could actually pick up everything that they want and could go on a tour, which is really different than AMs. You know, I was like, amateurs, they're starting families, they're in college, they're trying to kick off careers. You know, a lot of them financially aren't built to do something like that. And so why target the amateurs, the NADGT, when those aren't the people that can actually fulfill a tour? So that's kind of where that came from. And I put a lot of thought process in that. And then it went into, well, who would want to host the Masters, you know? And in my mind, being a tournament director, I've learned that private courses are awesome because you have so many more options. You don't have to pull permits. As long as the owner's on board, you know, you're good to go. And I like to have fun, right? So in my mind, you want to have like a big blowout party. And if you don't want to leave the private course or the entire tournament venue, you don't have to, would be ideal. If it had a campground and it had the restaurant or the players party at one place. And like, we want to build camaraderie and we want these guys and gals to be with their peers and have a blast. I think they've deserved it. They've earned it, and somebody needs to do it. And I feel like I'm unbiased because this doesn't really do anything for me other than obviously from a business sense, it's great. It's new opportunity, and I can't believe no one has done this yet.
And I think also, you know, the PDGA Tour, Disc Golf Pro Tour, whatever, you know, we've had venues and tournaments set up for so many years. It's hard to kind of change that. But you being able to start fresh, you can hand pick, like you said, what we've all been complaining about or missing or wanting for so many years. So you being able to start fresh is allowing you to go through everyone's complaint survey and try to fix some of that.
Yeah, definitely. And part of it is I think I have an old soul. So most of my friends are older, and these are the people that I actually prefer to hang out with. Whether they like me or not is another story. But these are the people that I don't mind spending my time with. So, you know, that's part of it too. So I'm excited about this. You know, obviously it's a lot of work for me, but I'm looking forward to these events as well.
Has there been anyone else involved at all in terms of the formation of it, the planning of it, supporting it, like corporately, sponsors or anything? Has any of that materialized yet? Is some of that coming, but maybe hasn't materialized yet because you had to get a letterhead and a thing for them to support first? How's that going?
Yeah, so, you know, I didn't have any help doing this so far, which is crazy. I'm the type of person that goes to a business meeting with a solution, not a problem. So I'm not the type of person that shows up and goes, hey guys, so I've been thinking about doing a Masters tour. What do you guys think? Like, let's talk about it for an hour and not get anywhere. So I just created it. And, you know, if you build it, they will come. I really believe in that. There are a few conversations going on about a title sponsor. You know, nothing has been 100% fulfilled yet. But we've got a couple big companies interested, so I'm just kind of waiting to hear back from things like that. And based on if we have a title sponsor or not, that will really dictate what other sponsorships we have available, if that makes sense.
Sure. Sure, cool. Well, let's talk about the product itself. I mean, it sounds to me already, just based on what you've already told us, it sounds like it's very sort of player-centric. It's very sort of experiential. And it's very clear that you're thinking about what players want, what's going to attract them. You're thinking about the age group that these players are in. Is there going to be a tour membership, or other than the fact that the events are really cool, are there player benefits or perks that are sort of ongoing? Is there a cost to the players? Is it just event by event? Tell us a little bit about that part of the structure.
Yeah. So, you know, part of this is I've been doing a lot of research about the Pro Tour, right? I'm like, how did this happen? How did we get to where we are? They're doing really amazing things, and I don't have a lot of insight on that. And there's honestly not a lot of information available through the internet. But what I have found is I think I need to start this. This year it will be event by event, which Jennifer knows up until 2 years ago, that's exactly how the Pro Tour was, which is kind of crazy to think. I'm hoping as soon as 2024, we have, you know, a tour pass, just like the Pro Tour, but for the Masters. But also with that, I've found that, you know, that can be negative as well, if that makes sense, because that limits who can play in each region. And because it's Masters, it's so different. Because you don't have but maybe, what, Jen? 12 to 15 players that are maybe playing both?
Typically. Right? For FPO Masters divisions, most of them have been like around 15 or so.
Yeah, so they're playing the Pro Tour and they would qualify to potentially play the Masters Tour, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, I tried to schedule all these events around the Elite Series. A few of them, I didn't have a choice. But I tried to do that because I still want the bigger names if you guys want to be there. But Tour Passes...
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood the question. You meant there's like three of us. Four. Melody Bailey sometimes plays both. You mean... How many are playing FPO and
I thought that sounded
very few.
Very few.
Yeah, sorry. Maybe I was thinking how many total. I was already looking at numbers of how many total women we have that actually play Masters at the professional level. Yeah, there's just a few handful that play both.
Right. So, I mean, most of the work that this took was trying to, you know, weave and bob around the Elite Series events, which is very difficult, by the way. Without working with the PDGA, which I'm crazy for that, but I wanted to do this and have it done and be like, hey, so this is what I'm doing and I'd love for you guys to support it. You know, I'd love to have the PDGA's blessing. And this comes at a time where maybe some people aren't super thrilled with the PDGA. And I think that having something like this really benefits the PDGA. It's what the public wants. And it benefits a huge group of people. So, you know, moving forward with that, but like I said, there's only maybe 12 players that would play the Pro Tour and the Masters Tour. So mm-hmm. while I did schedule around those events, I didn't necessarily have to, but we do. I mean, I would love to have Jen and Owen and Hokum and Holly and those people at the finale, right? So you guys would have to qualify for that. But with going back to the tour passes.
Challenge extended.
Yeah.
Right? But going back to the tour passes, you know, there's been a lot of negativity as far as you still have a lot of, you know, FPO players that play regionally, but they have full-time jobs or their moms or whatever. And that tour pass really kicks them out of a lot of opportunities for Elite Series events, which is problem to have. But I don't know how that
even went up this year. Yeah. I'll even throw that in. That also price went up quite a bit this year for that Pro Tour pass. And we always question, you know, what are we getting for our money? So, I agree to that. Like, she's eliminating, again, some complaints that we all toss around.
Yeah, you know, and I think if you were going to do a Masters Tour Pass, at least in my mind, what that would do is I would offer that to the people that are also playing on the Pro Tour just to make their lives simpler so they don't have to keep an eye on their schedule book for registration all year. Because it is a headache, you know, when you've got... This event opens on this date, and then 2 weeks later, this event opens on this. And if you miss those, like you're kind of out of luck, right? So, so that would be something that would be appealing, I'm sure, for Jen or Owen or Hokum or whoever. Yes. When you guys are, you know, I'm on the road as well, and it's a grind, and you get caught up in trying to play well, and everything else gets pushed to the back burner. And I mean, I've missed registration being on tour before. Because
you don't have Wi-Fi driving down the road.
Right. And I'm driving. I do all the driving. Yeah, so there's not a lot of time.
But, it's very difficult.
But yeah, you know, I'm not against doing something like that. Or, you know, if the title sponsor wants a few spots where, you know, if Latitude 64, for example, came to me and was like, we want to title sponsor this and we want Johnny McRae to have first dibs at all these events, I'd be like, sweet, with this price, this is what you get. That's totally fine. So there are things like that that we could do. And I'm open to discussion. I definitely don't want to just say, hey, let's just do it exactly how the Pro Tour does it, if that makes sense.
Sure. Well, and it sounds like you're looking at all angles and you know that there are pros and cons to almost any system. And so doing it this way with this first year, it's going to give you a chance to implement whatever system you think is best down the road and have some flexibility in that, which is, frankly, it's kind of interesting because I think it's a little bit of a case study. We're all going to be able to watch this sort of happen. You know what I mean? As opposed to, you know, when you, for a lot of us, we came into the sport and things just were the way they were, and most of them positive. But, you know, Jennifer, you just alluded that a minute ago when it comes to scheduling. Right. Some events just are the way they are because they've been that way for decades, you know. So this is going to be interesting watching this take shape over the course of the next year and then beyond, of course.
Well, what the people really want to know, Callie, is if we do have a tour membership, is that automatic, like beer tickets to each event? God. I'm just kidding.
What does this include for the after party?
Is that the brewery we'll be hosting? No. Okay. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
No, you get free rides in the mechanical bull. You get
exactly. tickets to a masseuse, you know, a massage after, or a hot tub. You know, like things like that, the perks of being gay, you know,
Ben Gay, title sponsor, Ben Gay,
what the old people really
free
want.
Samples.
Okay. So you guys laugh, but I've already reached out to Monkey Butt. Okay. You guys know, you know what Monkey Butt is? It's like baby powder for chafing. And I'm like, that is a product that we can all laugh about, but that most of these guys are going to want and need, you know?
So, yeah, you're putting Johnson & Johnson baby powder out of the business on the Pro Tour or on the Masters Tour.
Right.
With Monkey Butt. Yeah, for sure.
This conversation
somehow is still on the rails, even though it sounds like it's not. And I'm just amazed by that.
I mean, I've tried to figure out how to get ibuprofen as a sponsor, but I'm just not sure.
Yes. Ibuprofen, those are the things. Yes. I mean, that
this
we really
is so
want.
Bizarre. And yet it still somehow fits into the topic at hand.
Kinesio tape.
That's fancy. Who's going
to
be playing?
I reached out to them. I did reach out to them.
Oh, Kinesio.
I'm serious. I'm all about this. And also, welcome to the Masters. It's so much more entertaining. I'm telling
you. Yes. This is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, Dr. Scholes, Callie, Dr. Scholes.
Gosh.
You need to stop.
You know I'm right.
Who's going to be wearing these Dr. Scholes? Who's going to be sprinkling themselves with monkey butt powder? Who's going to be doing this?
Grant, let's talk about is not in the Masters, divisions. Clearly.
Yes, I am. I'm old enough. Boy, you better believe it. I put Christmas lights up on my house 3 days ago, and I'm still feeling it. So believe me.
We'll reach out to retirement homes and see what kind of sponsorships we can get, you know, like
they can come
but
out.
No, I mean, I'm excited about this, and I want the tour to be taken seriously. Like, my main goal is to roll out the red carpet for all these people that have helped pioneer this sport, and that a lot of these bigger companies seem to act like there's no money in it. I've been baffled by some of the conversations that I've had with the sponsors that I'm trying to reach out to as far as disc golf manufacturers. And they're like, you know, what's this? What's the revenue going to be on this? What's the turnaround going to be on this? You know, what are the numbers? And I'm like, I don't know. We've never done it. You know, I'll have numbers in October with the finale. And then I can be like, yeah, I told you so. Because when I decide to take on a project, I'm not going to allow it to fail. And I mean, that's just the way I am. And Jen's already said it. I'm stubborn as hell. And I mean, I'm excited about this. And as long as I'm motivated to do it, it will get done, and it will get done correctly. The big thing that I will say, any masters that are listening out there, is please bear with me. This is going to be a huge learning opportunity and a process throughout the entire year. And my goal is to make it successful. But with that, you're going to have some failures. So, you know, I'm not afraid to fail. I'm not afraid to ask for help when I think I've bit off more than I can chew. But please do not roast me at the stake if I make a mistake, because no one else wants to do this. So if you burn me, I don't know who's going to jump in line to take this over.
Well, I will say, I mean, just listening to her, I'm sure, for the last couple of minutes, she's saying that she's taking all of the mistake, not even mistakes, the things that we complain about at tournaments, and she's turning them into things that we want. So I'll add on to that, Callie, by saying, I think, you know, if our master players, if they have an issue, if you will just express that kindly, Callie will see that as, oh my gosh, maybe I overlooked that, and let's make that better. So hopefully with a nice, mature group of players in the Masters division, Callie, we will be able to approach you kindly and maturely and say, hey, have you thought about this?
Definitely. And to add to that, I know that a lot of you are still not mature, even though you're older. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. There are a bunch of big kids. There are a bunch of big kids that want to throw frisbees, and I'm still okay with that. And that, but that's my dad. I mean, that's who he is. Yeah. He's a big man child. Like, he's there to have fun. He's there to have a blast. And, you know, he calls it like he sees it. But, you know, he's going to have the most fun. Otherwise, he won't show up. I mean, that's why he's there. And that's the goal, right? So I want to appeal to the super competitive player, and I want it to be serious enough that he's not upset, but also I want this to be lighthearted. I want this to be fun, and I want people to come back and play these events because they had a blast.
Well, let's talk more about the people in terms of the divisions and things like that that you intend to offer.
Oh, yeah. So I talked to Michael Downs last night, late, very late, and he, you know, I've been a little busy, but he informed me, he was like, well, just so you know, we added 8 more divisions to the Masters.
Yeah, real quick, for those who don't know, Michael Downs of the PDGA.
Yes. So I said, well, wonderful. The trophy shop is going to love that, you know? That, I mean, and that's not a bad thing. It's just now we have 32 divisions in the Masters. Wow. So keep
you're talking
that in
about
mind
between pro and am and then all the different age groups, basically.
Correct.
And then, of course, FPO and MPO. Right. OK.
Yeah. There are 32 divisions that I have to fit onto 3 courses at most of these venues, 2 at some. So with that, you know, I have a decision to make, and I would love feedback on this because, you know, you do have the 55 and plus, 65 and plus, 75 and plus, which are, you know, the medians between the 50s and 60s, and you know, they added those what, 2 or 3 years ago or whenever.
It's been a while.
But is that, you know, would you rather me have more divisions where the payout is going to be smaller, or would you rather me say, let's do 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s? That way the groups are bigger, the payout will be better.
Right.
I mean, I need feedback on that. I don't know what people will want. The only dilemma that I'm running into is that I'm running the Tim Selinski next year, and then you have Masters Worlds, and those are platinum events. And those events are going to be required to have all of those divisions. And if you register to make those Disc Golf Masters Tour, those points to count for your tour, which is going to be in your registration option, you know, if you're in those other divisions and I haven't offered them all year, are you out of luck? Like, how do we address that? And I don't know. So that's something that I've put a lot of thought into, and I just need feedback from the Masters. How important is it to them? Is it, you know, is it more about having fun, or is it more about payout? Because I'm down with either way. I just need to know what they prefer.
Well, and I think, you know, at first you'll probably have to just roll back to how it's always been. You have to have 4 to have a division. So, you know, if there's just 2 FPO 55s that sign up, clearly, you know, you have no other option but to roll them in to FPO 60.
Right.
So I think you're going to have a lot of both out there, unfortunately, Callie. You know, there are going to be those few that want to win a title and want the best. But I almost feel like a majority of them are going to just be excited to be out there playing. So you probably won't please everybody, but I know you're going to try.
Yeah. You know, and I'm like, well, this is the first wrench that I'm going to throw at them, and I'm not going to make them all happy. But I'm going to do my best. And, you know, it doesn't bother me, like I said, to have more divisions. It just, it limits the cap on those divisions so much. You know, I mean, the 70s to 80s are probably going to be limited to 4 players per division, which is really small. And is that fair? Not necessarily, but I don't really have a lot of options, right? Because we want to make sure the 40s, 50s, 60s have ample room, because those are going to be our bigger divisions.
Yeah. Well, luckily, there's probably not a super ton of MPO 70s and 80s out there playing.
Not yet.
So you may just have a handful of them anyway. So this may all work out.
Yeah, for sure.
Not yet.
Hopefully.
They say we're all going to live to be like 120 now or something with modern medicine.
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
The 105-year-old PDGA division.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say no.
105, my gosh. And be like, well, now there's 56 divisions and we need 12 courses at every stop. And which honestly, it would be a great problem to have. I'm not complaining. I think it's awesome. But yeah, they just did some research and they said the largest growing age division is like the 80s or something now. Because we're living longer. Like in the world, the biggest population growth is into the 80s, which is crazy.
Sure. Well, and quality of life when you're older is getting better and better to where when you're, 70 or 80 or whatever, you can still move and you can, you know what I'm saying? Like quality of life in general is just because everyone's, whether we do it on purpose or not, our diets and things keep getting better, at least than they were in ancient times. So anyway, what about the wanting to follow this, in terms of like being a fan, being, whatever, is there any thought yet as to how that part of this is going to work, whether it's spectating, whether it's some type of coverage video or otherwise, are there any thoughts there or what?
Yeah. So part of that is funding, right? So I've been talking to Ace Run Pro, which those are my boys. They're down in Atlanta. If you don't know who they are, they have a YouTube channel. Go give them a follow. But Felix and Conrad are awesome. They film a lot of the ladies' cards on tour or have for years. And they're just down to earth boys and they're awesome. So,
and they do an incredible job.
Yeah. Yes. Don't forget that part. Yes. Yeah. We've been in communication about that, but the price tag, I have no problem sharing this, but for, let's say, I think it was 15 events, to have all of those rounds just for MP40 and FP40, if you're doing six rounds at each event, because most of these are 3-day events, you're looking at $84,000 for the season.
Just to cover expenses. Yeah.
So this is where you throw in that like, follow, and subscribe to.
Yes.
That's why.
So like,
this
follow.
This is why. Yes.
And, part of that, if the Masters Tour, if the Masters community really wants this to take off, the best way and the easiest way that they can help me is follow the Disc Golf Masters Tour Facebook page. Follow the Instagram account. Because that's how you get bigger name sponsors where they want to write a check for those, for that media. And maybe one day we could have it all filmed, which would be crazy. But I mean, and the other thing is we need proof that there's actual interest in watching these things because, a lot of these sponsors they're not super excited about,
they don't want to watch us hobble around and
they're like, who wants to watch all these old people with crutches throwing frisbees? And I'm like, that's not what this is.
It could be more entertaining. We might fall more. So,
well, you know what is cool though? Have you thought about this? Like all the old school shots and things that you would see that the new age disc golf doesn't use.
Right. Right.
Johnny McRae with his turbo putt from 85 feet. That's insane.
Yeah.
So there are things that I want to see. That I think other people would want to see. The question is, if I choose to purchase or fund this coverage on a handful of events throughout this tour, are people going to watch it on YouTube? Because if it blows up, I'm like, sweet, let's film the whole thing. Maybe it's worth the $84,000 because we can get kickbacks off of YouTube or I can find a sponsor that wants to fund this. But for the time being, now I need the Masters community to come together and get on YouTube, learn how to use your phone, and get on there.
As long as you put out a few YouTube for Idiot, teach us how. Yeah, you're going to have to teach it, and then we'll do it.
Good grief.
Yeah, and this reminds me, I was at Bud Hill running a tournament, and I will never forget, I think it was the Naquin. And by the way, Bud Hills in Memphis, amazing private course. Danny and Barbara are awesome. But I was at the Naquin helping run a tournament with Will McCaskill. And he left me at Bud Hill and he was at the Forest and there's no cell service. So I can't get a hold of him. And he's like, hey, can you get everybody started? Well, he left me with the Masters groups. And keep in mind, I'm not part of the tournament staff for this. I'm just there vending, hanging out with my friends. And so I said, okay, guys, we're doing live scoring. And I have like 50 old guys just staring at me like deer in headlights.
Pen and paper.
And I was like, okay, so we're going to get your phone out. We're going to go to pdga.com/score and like walked through all of these things. finally, you know, one guy's like, I got it. You know, he's so pumped. He's like, I figured it out. I'm like, sweet. Teach your friend. Keep teaching your friend, you know.
Pass it along.
But it's fun, you know, it's lighthearted, and that's what I want. So, and also, maybe they could learn a thing or two. I know I'm going to learn a thing or two, or a lot of things, you know, from them and how they play. And, you know, I know how my dad plays and how his group of friends play, but that's not how everyone plays. So I'm excited to see how this goes. Things are going to change rapidly, I think, as we learn. You know, I'm hoping to still add a few stops to this tour. Now that it's out, I've got a lot of people reaching out going, hey, we want an event. We want an event over here, over here, over here, over here. So
is that something you can do a Patreon account? I mean, this just literally popped in my head. You could maybe delete this later, but, you know, we have all the Patreon accounts for Ace Run Pro and things like that. Is that something you have thought of as possibly if people really want to see us play, you know, maybe even a Patreon account to get money going for that?
I think it's worth a conversation because currently, you know, I have zero sponsors on board for this. I have a lot of interest. Understand that we're not doomed. There's still a lot of interest in this. I just haven't figured out exactly what direction I want to go in is part of it. But this will be a hit, you know, even if we didn't have sponsors, because the one thing that I'm good at is numbers and money, and we will make it happen. It will be successful without that. But with that, it'll be so much better, you know. So I'm looking forward to that. I need to talk to Ace Run Pro. Maybe they're interested in a Patreon account or something, you know, and if people want to donate to that, that would be really cool.
Well, I mean, amidst all of the uncertainty and all of the things that you're going to sort of build as you go, take feedback as you go, and form as you go, there are things that are concrete. And one of the things that is concrete is there is a 2023 schedule that you have posted. You even said it may not be complete yet. It might not be done, but it is posted. There are events on a calendar. You know, let's talk about some of those. We don't have to go through every single one, of course. But I'm looking at it right now and I'm seeing some destinations that I'm really excited to see on somebody's calendar. I'm seeing Tulsa, Oklahoma, for example. You know, there are a lot of people that may not be have been around the sport long enough to know that Tulsa, Oklahoma was a big time disc golf hotbed for years and hosted championships, majors before. So I'm excited to see it on. I see hotbeds that we're all used to, like Charlotte, on there. I see Jacksonville, Florida at the New World Complex. They just had a silver event just a couple of weeks ago. Talk about some of the event locations that you're excited about.
Yeah, so honestly, one of the ones that I'm most excited about is the first one. And
I was going to say, me.
And that kind of just worked. It kind of worked out. It kind of fell in my lap because, you know, I immediately thought of Alan Risley. Alan Risley's been in the game for a long, long time. If you don't know who that is, it's AJ Risley's dad. He lives near San Diego, if I'm not mistaken.
So yes, he does.
I forget what his PDGA number. Yeah. And I don't know what his PDGA number is, but I'm pretty sure it starts with a one and it's four digits and it's really low.
It's down there for sure.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so he has run Goat Hill for the last, I don't know, 3 years or so.
More than that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know it's been on the radar for about 3 years. So it was actually a Silver Series last year and Ricky showed up and actually took it down, if I'm not mistaken, as well. So it's Goat Hill is awesome. Jennifer and I have both played it many, many times. And Alan is awesome. So I reach out to Alan like, hey, so I'm crazy and I'm starting a Masters tour and I would love to use Goat Hill. And I sent him the date, and he goes, this was prior to the A-tier form that came out. He goes, well, this is really funny because that's exactly when Goat Hill is next year. And he's like, well, what if we work together on it? Because I immediately was like, well, that won't work. You know, and he goes, whoa. He's like, I love this. He's like, you know, I'm in an age-protected division. He's like, let's do it. Let's figure it out. So Reedy Creek is another amazing ball golf course that has a really good disc golf course on it. That is about 30 minutes away from Goat probably. And so we tied that in. We're actually shooting to add one more course. That way we have ample room, like I said, for all the divisions. So
Kit Carson is very close to Reedy. So
Yes.
They're kind of close for those who would like a picture of where that's at.
Yes. And the other goal that we have for that, and this is not set in stone, so don't be upset if it doesn't happen, but our goal is to have golf carts for every player during the tournament, which would be really cool.
If you've ever walked Goat Hill as a Masters player, you will thank Callie later.
Yes, because it is a haul. Like, it's crazy. But Goat Hill is amazing. You can, I mean, I'm pretty sure you can hear the beach from, or the ocean.
It's a mile away.
Yeah. And it's like these big, you know, palm trees that look like pineapples. And it's just, it's beautiful. So I'm looking forward to that one probably the most. Mainly because about the time I get over there, I'm going to be really excited about good weather, and that'll be part of it. It falls on Super Bowl Sunday, which I didn't know about till Alan just told me. So we're hoping to try to put together a big Super Bowl party or something like that Sunday afternoon. So we're hoping to, you know, make it a big event, make it a big deal. Let me pull up the schedule.
And they've redone that clubhouse right there at Goat Hill, too. So it's so pretty. They've really put a lot of work and money into that park. So, and Reedy Creek, as Callie's looking at her schedule, I'm just feeling here. Reedy Creek was actually, that ball golf course was saved because of disc golf. So they strongly support the game. And so I'm actually very excited that both of those will be played.
Yeah, definitely. Moving forward, another stop that is really cool, and what's crazy is I haven't even been there yet, to Persimmon Ridge in Arkansas.
It's
a newer course. Yes, newer course, beautiful property. I've only seen pictures, but lots of really good feedback. The owners are amazing. And so we're working on that being a stop. It was actually originally it was scheduled to be first, and then I realized I need more time, right? I need 2 months or so to get tents and table skirts and feather banners and sponsors and all that stuff lined up. So we ended up moving it to the sixth stop, I believe, or seventh. But I'm really excited about that one. And like Jen said earlier, the Pro Tour has been around for so long that I feel like they have their, you know, go-to venues, which is cool. Like, all of those are worthy of these stops. But they don't really, you know, navigate outside of what they've always done necessarily. So there are some really good courses that maybe for them, they're like, it's not close enough to a city, or it's not, you know, there's a few restrictions that to them, it's not great, but it's actually an amazing venue. So we're going to try to use those. And like I said, I love private courses.
And there's more retirement centers along the way. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Cut.
No, but you're right. When you have a venue that you need to set up for a certain type of event, you have to put in infrastructure, or at least plan to bring in infrastructure. And once you do that once, it becomes a lot easier and a lot more economical to repeat it whenever possible. So one of the other interesting things about this product is you're going to be doing that in some new places. And you'll probably establish some patterns in some of these new places where they become repeat venues for you. And there's nothing wrong with that. It'll just continue to expose more people to championship level disc golf being played by players that are really good.
And really good. There's still some really good golfers out there.
I can tell you right now, my dad would be into this for the simple reason that you've seen those old guys rule t-shirts, probably those t-shirts that say old guys rule. Like, my dad loves that stuff. Number one, because he's an old guy.
But
number
two,
he's always talking about events that I play in, and I'll tell him about somebody in a Masters division. He goes, I bet that guy couldn't throw very far, but I bet every shot he threw landed within like 5 feet of where he wanted it to, because that's just the way you become. And he thinks that's more entertaining. And in a certain realm, I'm not going to say it's more entertaining, but it is entertaining. It's everybody as entertaining as watching someone bomb, you know, 550 feet or something. So people are going to get to see disc golf being played. I love that you brought up unique shots, maybe from players in the past and the way they had to learn how to throw a disc to make it move and make it work. I love that you brought that up. I can't wait to see that in real
life. Slower speed discs that they can make the disc do more work. When you're throwing something 80 miles per hour, trust me, I know, it goes one way. That destroyer flies one way. But if you're taking a slower speed disc, throw it a lot slower arm speed, you can make that Frisbee fly like it was originally designed to do so many different things. So there's going to be some crazy shots at some newer courses that have never been filmed before. So even just filming courses that people have never seen before is something that hopefully people will have interest in.
Yeah, you know, and another thought is, I mean, I think Jen will agree with me on this, but not all of the Pro Tour stops that we go to are those fun courses for an amateur. Those are not always, you know, it looks really beautiful and, you know, it looks amazing because the camera crew is amazing and the venue is amazing and the assets that the Pro Tour bring in are amazing and the way that it's facilitated is awesome. But for example, like Idlewild, I've talked to the locals. They're like, we don't play this when you guys are gone. They're like, we let it grow back up. We wait for you guys to come back next year. They're like, we don't want to play this course, you know? And so I want courses like Persimmon Ridge, you know, Goat Hill, Reedy Creek. Like those are really fun, beautiful courses. Like those are courses that an amateur that just started yesterday, he would actually have fun doing that. You know, he may not shoot great, but that's a fun venue, fun course. So that's another thing to focus on. You know, I'm not looking for the toughest, longest courses, whereas the Pro Tour has to factor that in because those guys throw so far.
Right. And with Ace One Pro, you don't have to worry about live footage. So you can be wherever. They can record and post. Yeah, post coverage, that stuff out whenever.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I'm hopeful that at some point, you know, that Jeff Spring and I can sit down and I, you know, I'm like, do you have any open weekends? Are there any of these events where the live team could show up and, you know, film one of them? I think that would be spectacular. I think it would be cool. And it's a great way to test if this is actually something that is financially valuable to sponsors, something that will have a great turnaround, something that has great results. So, I mean, is it going to be a gamble? Sure. Everything is when it starts. So, but I think having a conversation about that would be really cool. You know, maybe they skip a smaller silver series and they test this out and just see what happens. So
we're just going to have to prove to them that it's worth it.
Right. I agree.
I mean, Callie, is there anything we haven't touched on yet that you want to make sure that we mentioned before we let you go? I mean, obviously, you know, you're not busy or anything. You don't have a
Is Milo ready for Christmas? No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. So this is something you guys don't know, but I'm leaving tomorrow because I'm running a jungle tour, which is 8 sea tiers.
My brother actually talked to me about that.
What is this?
Because I'm crazy and I have nothing else going on. So I'm running 8 sea tiers before New Year's, which is great.
8 sea tiers between now and New Year's. All right.
So if you haven't got all your tournaments in this year, go and follow Callie.
Hasty tears in the next 30 days.
Yeah, but I'm nuts, and that's what I'm doing with my off season. I'm not really sure why, but I think I don't do well when I'm stagnant. So that's kind of what caused that. But yeah, other than please follow the Instagram account, please follow the Facebook page, share information, you know, invite your friends. I made that Facebook page public on purpose to try to grow that much quicker than if it was private. So, you know, share. I was talking to the PDGA. I'm hoping that they may even put this up on the website at some point. But we need to have many more conversations about that. So
you have a Masters Tour page now on Facebook, on Instagram. Are you tweeting this? Like, where can people follow? Make sure everyone knows
this. I'm not much of a tweeter.
I'm not either. I just threw that out there.
I could make it, but I'm going to be honest. I'm not great with Twitter. It's just not my favorite. And I don't feel like that's a master's level source for information. I could be wrong. But I mean, if someone's really interested in that, obviously we can make it and I'll just share the same information there. But yeah, and also, yes, Jen, I have a Facebook page and you were already invited. I don't know if
I just followed you. We have 78 current followers at this moment. So hopefully by the time this airs, that's going to be way up. And then all of you get on there. It was very easy. I just did it. So you can too.
Yeah, you know what's really crazy? So this morning I looked, and before I shared this, we had 25 members on Facebook, and now we have 719. So
boom,
it's working. It's doing what it's supposed to be doing. Instagram, same thing. We had like 2 followers because these people, I don't know how players find this information. I'm like, I haven't even shared it. How are you on here? But we had a few followers before, and now we're at 79 on Instagram in just a few hours. So that's promising, you know. Jen knows Instagram is worth a lot of money to sponsors and revenue. It always blows my mind. It costs people nothing to follow me, and it makes opportunities just show up everywhere. So please do that if you have an Instagram account.
Well, Jen, before we let Callie go, do you think we should hit her with a few quick cues?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah, all right. She's going to have great answers.
Let's do it.
I know a couple of her answers. I know her first answer.
So, Callie, if you're not aware, we play a game called Quick Cues sometimes with our guests. This is supposed to be like the lightning round on a trivia show. We're just going to hit you with a question or a topic, and you give us the answer that first comes to your mind. Just a way for people to get to know you a little bit better. So the first one on the list.
All right.
Do you have
secret talent? I'm jumping in there. I know it.
Yeah. Yeah. Juggling on a ripstick. Have you seen a ripstick has 2 wheels?
Yes.
And you swivel.
Yes.
You like swivel back and forth. But yeah, I can juggle
basketballs, large objects
while riding a ripstick.
There's video of
it. It doesn't matter.
I was going to say video. It didn't happen.
It
maybe not. Maybe not chainsaws, but like, you know, objects that aren't going to hurt me. I'm not a professional, but yeah,
juggling can juggle while on a ripstick. All right. That's a great, I think we're off and running with quick cues.
I knew that one. When I looked at the first question, I'm like, oh yeah, she's got it.
Yep.
Callie, we've hung out a lot. I know we've met several, but who would you list as your celebrity hang?
Someone you want to hang out with. Someone you either have hung out with, you want, or someone you'd love to hang out with. A celebrity.
Last time we did this, it was who have you hung out with? I was gonna say we've met a few along the way.
Either way,
but
I thought Jennifer was wanting me to say her name at first, but
no.
Want to hang out with? Is that the question?
Oh yeah, for
Steph
sure.
Steph Curry.
I like that one.
I was gonna say one of those times that we wandered off to San Diego, we definitely hung out with a few celebrities on the beach.
Yeah, the Yankee pitcher.
That was actually where I was going with it. We met a few people in San Diego for sure.
Yeah, no, I knew
Okay. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
If you weren't a disc golfer,
what else you
or
got?
In your case, let's say you weren't in the disc golf realm at all. Where do you think you would be? What do you think your career would be? What do you think you would be?
I would probably be working up a chain to be a CEO of some company that was already established.
So you're going white collar corporate, corporate desk.
Oh, I don't think she's white collared, but
yeah.
Well, I know. That's why I think it's an interesting answer. She's saying I'm gonna get myself up the corporate chain at somewhere. That's interesting.
I mean, I look pretty good there in a business suit. That's throw that out there.
Do they still have shoulder pads in women's business suits?
I hope not.
I hope not. I didn't wear one of those.
We all cut those out. Like no one wore those. That was a fail.
I wouldn't say no one.
We're like, these are not.
Bad. Those of us who were semi-athletic and had shoulders, we definitely cut those out. Callie, what was your favorite subject in school? I know she's helped my kids a few times with homework.
I'm like, math and history were right there.
An interesting combo too.
Likes numbers.
You like numbers and the history of numbers. They've been around a long time.
Yeah.
Do you have a guilty pleasure, Callie?
I'm not asking this one. I don't know if it should be answered.
Wow.
Oh, Lord. Okay, is this like G-rated? Is that what we're...
We'll edit after the fact if necessary.
Guilty pleasure. I'm pretty Crown boring. And I'll answer even know.
Crown and Clip. Next question.
Oh, well, yes. Okay, yes, but okay, so I love speakers. Like, I have, like, an addiction to, like, good sound systems, which is an expensive habit. And sunglasses, Oakley sunglasses, and
on all of those. Shoes for sure.
And maybe new
That's
vehicles.
The next question,
which is
actually.
Terrible.
Oh, yeah,
wait,
go for it,
one
Jen.
Moment. Callie, what is your dream truck? The question
I love
says
how
car.
You edited that on the fly. You didn't say car, you said truck.
She sent me videos of a few
honestly,
of these already.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I love a good truck. But ironically enough, I probably have my dream truck, maybe in a different color, but I'm currently driving a Platinum F450 dually, which is a big, big truck. But it's stock right now, which is really boring, and it would not be stock, but I have to pull this big monstrosity of a 42-foot fifth wheel that weighs over 20,000 pounds, so it needs to stay stock. But, yeah, I would just deck
and
it out,
and that goes
probably,
right into the next question is, where's your dream house?
Is it the thing that you're towing around with the Platinum?
She can move that wherever she wants it.
I will be honest, it is definitely a huge upgrade. Jennifer's seen it, and it's like a brand new home. And this way I get to be like a turtle, and when my neighbors irritate me, I just pack up house and leave. So
we just came up with a nickname for your house.
Where would I
want to
retire? Probably.
Yeah.
It's the turtle. Yeah. But yeah, East Tennessee would be where I would probably end up. Mainly because I'm a nerd and there's no income taxes in Tennessee. Otherwise, I would say
Carolinas. I thought you were going to say a beach for sure. Yeah. I didn't know which coast, but I thought you were going beach.
Well, I like East Tennessee because you're in the mountains. It's slow living. It's beautiful. But you're still 4 or 5 hours from the beach. So, and I like Myrtle Beach a lot.
On your just general life, is there anything on your bucket list that you haven't gotten to experience yet that you want to?
Yeah, get out of this country.
I don't even have a passport.
It's terrible.
So you need to get a passport and a stamp in it.
Okay.
I don't even have a passport.
We are working on that for your New Year's your New Year goals. We're getting you a passport.
No, I know. It's okay. To be honest, it's been on my list of things to do for about a year, but it hasn't been something that I've been super motivated about because it's like the DMV, right? You just don't want to deal with it. So
mine's expired. I don't have any reason to update it.
I think I might know the answer to this one, but go ahead and inform the world, Callie. What is the oddest job that you have done?
I don't know how odd this is, but I guess there's probably not a lot of people. So I actually financed all of the college that I did do and left debt free through being a car hop at Sonic on skates for 4 years, three and a half years. So that funded the end of high school and into college.
Do they pay extra because you're on skates?
Yes, they do.
You get like a bonus?
Oh, I thought they did.
No, they don't.
I thought they did.
No, they don't. No, they don't. No. And also, fun fact, I don't know who decided that peppermints were a good idea with roller skates. But I can tell you this, when one of those is on the road and you try to roll over
it's like a boulder.
Not happening. You just go over the top. Yeah, you're gone. Yeah. But I always saved the food. I was really messed up, but the food was fine.
I thought that was the only reason you did the skates was it was more money. That seems very Cali-like.
Well, no, the... It was a very lucrative location, but they required skates. So I guess kind of, but they didn't really pay me more. The customers tipped better. What's funny, I had this job. I'm the oldest of three girls and my youngest sister still works there, but we all three worked
there.
At
the same Sonic location.
Through high school and college.
Rolling around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, it's 5 minutes from my parents' house. My dad always liked to come through the Sonic drive-thru or the Sonic restaurant parking lot and honked the horn at us to see if we would fall. So, you know, he's got a sick sense of humor, but we love him to death and he's a really good guy. But yeah, he got my youngest sister once. It was pretty funny. I was in the car.
It could have been worse. He could have been like throwing peppermint out the window.
I bet he did that too.
You guys would hit those little miniature red and white landmines.
He's like making it hail out there in the parking lot.
Well,
but yeah,
that's Callie McMorrin.
There you have it,
ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it is.
She does.
She didn't leave much out. She did pretty good.
I love this. Yeah. She does a little bit of everything. You have probably seen her trailer at events. You've maybe bought a disc from Callie or two or dozens, but I bet you didn't know as much as you know now about Callie McMorrin and perhaps more importantly, what she's doing starting in 2023 and beyond. So Callie, thank you so much for talking with us for more than an hour, as not busy as you are.
You are very welcome. Yeah, no, thank you guys for having me. You know, I'm sure it was hard to get a hold of me with Jennifer not having my number at all.
Yeah, so. It was really tough. And thank you for dropping it immediately and jumping on with us so we could get this done while we all had the free opportunity. And I know I personally am extremely excited for next year. Now I just have to decide where I'm going.
As we all are.
Yes.
Callie, thanks again.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
I don't know about you, Grant, but that just makes me even more excited for 2023. Lots of cool things are going to be in the works for next year. And, you know, as Callie said, not everything is set in stone with the Masters Tour. So that makes it even more special. It can get bigger and better just as every day goes on. So thank you so much, Callie, for jumping on with us today and talking about all the exciting news for 2023.
One more piece of information. Let's say you wish you could play on the Disc Golf Masters Tour, but you just don't live in the right part of the world. Well, then you need to check out the PDGA Global Masters Series. Just head over to pdga.com/GMS for more information on how you can compete. Well, the year wrapping up, but at least one more episode coming your way right here on PDGA Radio. So until then, see ya!
Thanks, everybody. Bye.